We have a very special guest for this evening's broadcast and podcast, Elaine Kwok from Promise Technology. She's the product marketing manager, and she will be discussing with us all the amazing things in the Promise product line that some of which I hadn't realized until I was researching for this show, and they have some really interesting current products, and you can imagine what's around the corner with the Mac Pro coming out. So I know I'm really interested to be discussing that with Elaine. And I know, Sam, you have a little bit more experience in the enterprise with some of your storage attached networks, and Promise is a really big vendor in that area. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And you'll hear about a product called the SAN Link, not to be confused with the SAM Link, as Jerry right. likes to call it. And it'll be interesting to hear about it on there too, because it's something that I've recently found as well, and it turned out to be an integral part of what we do for a few of our clients. So listen up.
Yeah. And some, you know, consumer level stuff too, like they have the Pegasus. You know, of course I knew about the Pegasus R4 and the R6, but they have a Pegasus J2 and J4, which are their JBOD enclosures for, you know, really fast Thunderbolt SSD, and then a Thunderbolt like 2.5-inch drive enclosure, which pairs well with the Mac Mini. So those are really interesting. And I have a feeling that with the Mac Pro, we'll be seeing some really interesting new products from Promise. So stay tuned for that as well. Of course, we won't be able to press Elaine on any of that stuff, but you can imagine there'll be even more need for larger external storage enclosures with room for more drives and things like that. And I imagine with Thunderbolt 2 coming out with the Mac Pro, there'll be some really interesting stuff coming out from Promise. So stay tuned for that. And we'll go to our interview with Elaine now. And thank you all for listening.
Enjoy.
We are very grateful to be joined by Elaine Kwok, Product Marketing Manager from Promise Technology. And Elaine, thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So we were all very interested to hear about some of the upcoming products and some of the current products that you have available. I know we've all talked about using Promise over the years. I first started using Promise with the Smart Store, the 4-bay FireWire 800 RAID, which worked great with the older Mac Minis. And of course, then I moved to the Pegasus RAID with Thunderbolt, the newer Mac Minis. And it's a really fast, really great system. But I was really interested to hear more about some of the products that our colleagues may not have known about, like the SAN Link, for example. Can you speak to where that could be used in a SAN?
Sure. So, you know, many folks who use SAN Link, you know, if they have Mac Minis and they require shared storage, they'll basically connect two Mac Minis as metadata controllers to our flagship enterprise VTrack line, our X30. VTrack X30, you know, is really where, you know, we are Apple qualified as their main enterprise storage system, you know, provider. SAN Link also can connect workflows from the Pegasus directly to VTrack. So it essentially enables you to, through the use of Thunderbolt, access direct fiber channel storage, you know, to your VTracks. So, you know, currently it's 4 gig. And what's exciting is that, you know, as everyone's talking about the upcoming Mac Pro, you know, it's all about Thunderbolt 2. And Promise will be not only first to market with Thunderbolt 2 with Intel, as it was first to market with Thunderbolt, but also with Apple as well. And along with that announcement, we'll be bringing to the table SAN Link 2, as well as a complete line of Pegasus 2 products.
Well, that's pretty exciting. And I would imagine that you'll be, when the Mac Pro is announced or ready for launch, will the timing be where your products will hit the market roughly the same time and be available to go?
Exactly. So we're timing as soon as Apple is ready, we'll be ready too. And, you know, we can't disclose any particular dates at this time, but, you know, for them, they've given us particular stop gates, which we're following very closely. Mm-hmm. But we'll basically be the first to launch our products with Apple when they announce the Mac Pro.
Very cool. And I think you'll be such an important player in this marketplace because, again, the Mac Pro, as it stands, will not really have the capability for any kind of significant storage amounts. So everybody will be looking for solutions, and to be there in the marketplace at the time of purchase, I mean, I think that's exciting.
Yep. So, I mean, the Mac Pro has flash storage, but as far as RAID storage, a lot of folks are definitely excited about having SandLink to have direct connectivity for Pegasus because, you know, there are a lot of, post-production remote facility activities or, you know, mobile broadcasting applications that can all use Pegasus. But, you know, at the same time, there's just a lot of overall hype with 4K. And the big thing about Thunderbolt 2 at 20 gigabits per second, twice the bandwidth of Thunderbolt 1, is that many 4K applications require about 15 gigabits per second of bandwidth. So this will really open up the doors to a lot of movie editing, post-production work where they can stream uncompressed 4K material, do editing, and also be able to display this editing at the same time on 4K monitors and displays.
That's excellent. I mean, I know dealing with Final Cut editors and things like that, we've oftentimes run into walls when it comes to speed of the storage and of the storage devices. So to see this with Thunderbolt 2 will be incredible. And, you know, just jumping back to SandLink for a second, I kind of stumbled upon it, so to speak, about a year ago when we had to replace some of our older servers, but our RAIDs were fiber. And mm-hmm. I stumbled upon SandLink, and lo and behold, I could use my Mac Mini servers, the ones I was purchasing, to plug into this fiber connection. And it was like a godsend at the time because we weren't sure if we were going to have to replace that entire really expensive RAID that we had purchased only a few years ago. So, and like Jerry had said before, I think, you know, maybe not too many people knew about it before. And I kind of, now I praise it and I talk about it for some of my other clients that might be adopting newer hardware.
Right. So especially for, you know, upcoming Mac Pro without any, you know, enterprise RAID storage, in addition to Pegasus, that's just a perfect connectivity point to bridge our VTrack line, which is our traditional flagship product. And, you know, many folks know of Promise for their Pegasus line, but really with the upcoming launch of the Mac Pro, we've got many customers that are actually requesting specifically for SandLink first. So, it's definitely gaining a lot more visibility in our entire workflow of solutions that we provide for rich media professionals.
Now, Elaine, could you speak to just the overall solution there for those of us who maybe haven't had as much experience with a storage-attached network solution like myself? What are the components and how does this all sort of come together?
Yep. So, I mean, traditionally, we're talking about two Mac Minis, and you attach that to, or with SandLink to switch, and then from there you can attach your RAID storage system, such as your VTrack X30. And essentially this configuration will allow you to access data across, work groups of, let's say, editors, from 5 to 20 to 25 to 30 even. So instead of traditional, editors maybe working sequentially, you can have collaboration, transcoding, rendering, coloring, grading all together with this type of infrastructure. And really this allows for shared storage. And our VTrack A-Class actually integrates a lot of these features into one box. So it's really an emerging area for rich media applications, for just big data in general, applications are just, continue to expand beyond just, your traditional post-production and broadcasting types of environments.
And to bring it down to a real neophyte level, because I don't know the answer to this, and maybe you, Elaine, or Sam could speak to this, is I kind of understand the concept that the reason why you need two Mac Minis is one Mac Mini has to be the dedicated metadata controller. Is that why you need the two versus just using one?
Yeah, so it's basically redundancy. One is always the master, and essentially when you want to get access permissions, you know, a user would essentially, you know, tap into one of the Mac Minis and ensure that, you know, access is granted, and then from there, data would be transferred Fibre Channel through SANLink to the storage, and then from there, end users would be able to directly access through Fibre Channel as opposed to Ethernet through the Mac Mini path.
So it's sort of the equivalent of if you have a, you know, Mac Mini server with a Pegasus attached, just running the Apple, you know, Mac server built-in file sharing. The file server is handling sort of file locking and things like that. This just works on a much presumably faster level with a little bit of redundancy because you have essentially, you know, a failover. If one of the Mac Minis locks up, the other one can sort of take over for the first one.
Correct. So it's almost as if, you know, you've got active RAID controllers, for example, for redundancy. Having two Mac Mini servers is essentially for the same purpose, except you always have one running, which is the master. And if one goes away, then, you know, you've got the other, but only one's working at a time, and you've got a pair just for redundancy purposes.
Gotcha. And but would it work with just one if somebody was going to do it on the cheap?
You really need two just okay. because right. you, yeah, there's not, it's not like your traditional,
right.
Roller
yeah.
pair.
Yeah. Okay. I assume that was the correct answer, but I just wanted to throw it up.
Well, it's a good question to ask. I mean, just in terms of someone's budget, you know what I'm saying? And you know, just to make sure if we have a client that has a certain budget in mind, can they do it? And it's good to know that they can or cannot. So it's not a bad question.
Right. Yeah.
So you would take something like the VTrack JX30, for example. I'm sorry, that's the expansion chassis. So just the VTrack X30, is that right? And then combine that with like a fiber switch and then or fiber channel switch, as well as a sort of one Mac Mini connected with the SANLink, you know, via Thunderbolt into the same switch. A second Mac Mini connected via another SANLink into the same fiber channel switch. And then you have for each, I guess, client device or device where you need to access the data from, you would have a SANLink as well to connect them into the same fiber channel switch.
Yeah, correct.
Got it.
And all then right. that would go into the X30. And you're correct. The EX30 is actually the RAID head box. And then from there, there's JBots that connect to it. So it scales up. From that point.
Got it.
And
got it.
What makes actually the VTrack A class unique is as an alternative solution, instead of purchasing a two Mac Mini servers, right, and then the RAID storage head, all that's in one box. So the integration is another cost effective solution for and less rack space and a lot less cooling that does essentially the same thing. So.
So it takes the place of two Mac Minis, two SANLinks, and that puts it all in one box, basically, as well as the RAID head as well.
Correct. Cool. And it comes for you 24, 96 terabytes of storage.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
That's a lot of space.
And the other thing about the VTrack A-class file system is that... not only does it allow you to scale up, it lets you scale out as well. So, you know, you've got, you know, essentially 10 boxes in one node, and then you can go out 8 nodes. So with 4 terabyte drives, that's over 7 petabytes of storage that you can continuously pay as you grow, scale as you need it, up to 7 petabytes. So the whole purpose of VTrack A-class actually is if you have even 4 clients, you don't even need that switch. You can just connect your clients directly.
Oh, so it has a built-in fiber channel switch as well.
If you have 4 clients or less, okay. then you don't need it. But as soon as you go beyond that, you definitely will need a switch.
Okay.
So, Elaine, just out of curiosity, we've always worked, or my company has always worked with vendors to purchase your products. Does Promise do sales directly, or is it all through resellers?
It's pretty much all through the channel. So, you know, we work very closely with our resellers and a key number of distributors. There's a handful of DMRs that we also work with that particularly our distribution channel for Pegasus, but all the resellers carry Pegasus as well.
You know, going off kilter from that topic, I was just looking on the site and just checked out the Pegasus J2, and it's a Thunderbolt enabled storage device. So, what does it have? An SSD drive inside?
Yep.
So that's pretty. That's got to be pretty darn fast.
So the J2 is definitely a very nifty small pocket device. Everyone that sees it loves it. It's really for more the professional as opposed to consumer type of portable storage device. A lot of still photographers find it very helpful to use. In the pro world, but also a lot of folks are finding in terms of boot up time, instead of having a Mac Pro, if they need to bring pieces of work to remote locations, are finding it almost a flash alternative that will help them save dramatic boot time for their work. So with that said, it's definitely kind of a niche pro use, but with that type of application, it's been a very, very viable solution for users of that nature.
I don't do still photography, but I want one.
Very nice. And where do you see the application for the J4, which is slightly bigger?
Yes, we have a number of, large sports network customers who, really... They do a lot of off-site filming or broadcasting in across different countries. They travel a lot, and they need, they don't need necessarily a RAID solution, but they just need, storage that they can carry in their laptop case or their laptop bag, and just be able to take that anywhere and everywhere and essentially store a lot of footage that they can bring back to their site and stitch together. It's really the portability, and just, raw storage that they can easily transport, and have the versatility of different types of drives.
Yeah. What I liked about that was that it has, the two Thunderbolt ports as well. So you can, pair it with something like a Mac Mini, which has one Thunderbolt port and still, maintain that connectivity for a second Thunderbolt device. It has room for four 2.5-inch drives, so you could use SSD drives or standard, spinning disks. And I suppose you could format it using Disk Utility, using Apple's built-in RAID to either mirror those drives or stripe them. Is that the idea?
The J4 is just essentially like a JBOD, hence J, as opposed to like an R4, R6, or R8. The Pegasus product, so there's no RAID or striping with the J4, really what makes the Pegasus line different is the capability for RAID 5,
right? So or even our favorite RAID 6, which gives you that extra redundancy, but I guess so. The J4 would present four individual drives to the OS. Then is that right?
Correct.
I think.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. So I was just thinking it with those four individual drives, you could actually then take Disk Utility and maybe, mirror two of them and then mirror the other two of them or something like that and get, two drives total presenting to the OS with some redundancy built in. But that would all be in software rather than a hardware controller.
Correct.
So a soft RAID.
Could you just speak very briefly to the software? Can we safely assume that there are across the line, there'd be a little bit more of a general enhancement to the pre-existing software. I know one of the things that a lot of my clients like to see is these reporting features that some of these storage units have in them, where you can get an email if a disk fails or something like that. Do you see that coming in the distant future?
So, or the near future? Your question is how do we facilitate software updates, or
no status of the raid itself. For instance, with the Pegasus raid, the reporting ability.
I think what Jerry's getting at is basically if one of the drives fails or something like that, the reporting tools to be able to send an email or anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, we could pull this out. We have to. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus on that one.
Oh, but no, that's worries. Need to find out.
But that's a very, you know, it's a very nice feature, and a lot of clients enjoy seeing that everything, you know, you can get a report if everything's good, or if, you know, mm-hmm. a drive has gone down, and they sort of like that, you know, that's
appeal. In fact, I know that is a built-in feature of the software. I forget the name of the utility for the Pegasus. As long as the software is running, you know, it'll report status like that, I believe. But it does have to, I think it has a GUI, and it has to actually run, you know, it has to open at login and be running with a user logged in to be able to do that. But along those lines, I'm curious about the sort of built-in, I guess, management of something like the A class. So I assume is it managed through and kind of configured through a web browser?
Yeah, so it is through a web browser. And essentially, you know, what you would normally have is a separate metadata management software and a separate RAID management software. It's all unified into one, and it's all managed over the web. And essentially, you know, when you have an A class, you know, you're given a particular address that you can log into, and from anywhere you can essentially monitor and adjust the status of the A class and B track system. And in addition, we also have there's an app that most people may not be familiar with that lets you remotely monitor your VTrack systems as well, VTrack A class and also the X30 systems.
Oh, that's very cool. An app for like for the desktop or for mobile, for the iPhone?
For the iPhone, for iPad, and pretty much mobile or desktop. So
very cool.
So it's a Promise app, you said?
Yep, Promise app.
Cool.
I'm gonna go check that out.
Yeah, I'd love to see that come to Pegasus at some point. That would be really neat to be able to just remote in or go on site and bring up the app and just kind of like see the status. Like Jerry said, it's great to be able to not only check it for our own peace of mind, but to be able to show something like that to a client and say, here you go, you know, all green check marks, all systems go.
Yeah. So Promise is looking into the future on other possible online file sharing capabilities, but I probably can't say too much now. So,
now, Elaine, you just came back from the IBC show in Amsterdam. Would you say that there must have been a lot of interest in the Promise booth in general, with just, you know, Apple being on the cusp of coming out with their Mac Pro? Would you say there was much more excitement or much more energy this year in terms of people looking at storage solutions?
Yeah, actually a lot more. It was very good, healthy traffic. Our booth was very well positioned. It was in a main hall where everyone had to walk in with anything related, you know, to post or broadcasting types of solutions. And we had an unusual amount of folks coming in for the Thunderbolt 2 announcements because of the Mac Pro, as well as for our VTrack A class, again, because it was globally announced to be available just this August. It was announced originally in the U.S. During NAB in April. But, you know, media came from all over. The largest, technology TV stations came with their camera crew. In France, for example, the largest trade show journals for technology from France came. Same with Brazil, Portugal, Malaysia, Nigeria as well. So it was surprisingly good. And, we pretty much, again, could tell them about the technology. And on site, we had actual dummy demo units, not in final form factor, but they were nonetheless, working units with Thunderbolt 2 that people could see. We didn't plug it in because we're not supposed to plug it in and show any performance, but everyone came by to see the products displayed. And so, many were speculating, oh, how's your next Pegasus line going to look? Is it going to look like the Mac Pro? And say, but
right.
It was very interesting at all the different questions people were asking in terms of configuration, form factor, et cetera.
Yeah, it must be great to get that global perspective. And I'm just looking at the news reports that just under 53,000 people attended the conference. That's a quite a large number.
Yeah. It was definitely a lot of buzz. And, this year our booth, we're really trying to show the whole, workflow. So it's not just Pegasus, it's not just VTrack, but it's also SandLink and A-Class and Thunderbolt 2 and, just how do we address the needs of 4K? So we had on display, 4K cameras, displays, and, just had a showcase of all our Pegasus lines.
Very exciting. I'm sure you had to dodge the question about release date quite often as well out there from the attendees.
Yeah. So, we always get asked when roughly is it by this, but, we really can't comment on, what the day is. And then we've got folks that will pull us aside and say, well, but you do know. And so, I think under many layers and with reason, right, we pretty much can't comment on an exact time frame. So
we'll all be waiting for that big announcement from Apple, followed probably shortly thereafter, or maybe day and date with your announcement. I remember you guys, I think, had a release along with Thunderbolt 1, right? I think you were there in the Apple store on day one.
Yep. And that is our full intention with Thunderbolt 2. So hence the excitement and just the wave of energy to be there at the same time.
Yeah, that's exciting. And speaking of the Apple Store, I wanted to point out for the listeners, I recently noticed, and this was only a couple days ago, that there's now a 24 terabyte version of the Promise Pegasus R6 with, of course, now 4 terabyte drives. I've been looking out for that for a while in the Apple Store, and I'm very excited to get my hands on one at some point because that's just a huge amount of storage to be available with a direct attached Thunderbolt connection like that.
Correct. And, I guess what's to come you'll see, but many folks have asked, is it going to be more of this? Is there going to be less of this? And they talked about, hey, many of us have had to daisy chain a series of R6s. Do you have, something I could use instead, larger, that could be less cumbersome? And we can only say no comment. So
that's usually a good sign.
Yes, that is.
Excellent. Well, yeah, we'll be definitely looking forward to that as well. And I'm just curious, this may be a little bit too probing a question, but I'm curious as the, of course, Apple announced the Mac Pro with the, drastically reimagined form factor, lacking, all manner of internal connectivity and drive bays, had the, the pro users really up in arms about, how am I supposed to, work now with, these 6 or 7 different boxes all over my desk with cables strewn about, I can't get the same internal cards and things that I needed. And of course, the storage is a whole different issue, which you guys are going a long way towards solving. Have you identified any other, sort of markets that are or needs from consumers or prosumers or professionals that that you know we may see coming in the future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Mac Pro is definitely going to be more professional based. There are a lot of you know, Apple enthusiasts who may not even be aware that, you know, there's only flash storage and no alternative, you know, immediate RAID storage, and it just needs to be connected. But, you know, I think in addition to your traditional creative professional, there might be some other more enterprise applications, you know, I mean, advertising, other rich media related applications. There might be something auto related in terms of design, for example, that could be, you know, a very viable solution for. So all those are definite possibilities of where you know, the applications would fit pretty well with you know, what we have in mind to launch. So
very cool. And do you guys, I know you're mainly, I guess, a storage company. Do you offer any other products, I guess, you know, outside of that, that realm?
So, I mean, right now with storage, there's an entire ecosystem, of different components that surround, the storage itself. So, we're working with, partnerships in, you know, backup and archiving, in data asset management, media asset management, just to really look at helping customers manage their data, you know, for the long term. How do they move their data from, you know, ingest to editing to archiving and long-term management and retrieval? So, you know, within just the media entertainment space, you know, Promise is really looking to become more of a solution provider with the storage that, you know, they've been providing for the past 25 years.
Very cool. And, you know, while I was browsing the Apple Store, I mentioned the R6 24 terabyte model. I just noticed that they show it on the Apple Store next to a Mac Pro, but the old Mac Pro, which is really kind of weird because as far as I know, the old Mac Pro doesn't have Thunderbolt and the Pegasus doesn't have anything but Thunderbolt. So I think somebody who's responsible for creating these images maybe misunderstood, you know, pair this thing with a Mac Pro or something, because it's probably the wrong Mac Pro. And I've noticed on the older one, the original 18 terabyte or 12 terabyte version, they show it with a just a monitor or like a MacBook Pro. So that's kind of misleading. I may have to email Apple about that one.
Yeah, I mean, I would think the correlation is more, hey, it's more of a, you know, prosumer slash professional target audience as opposed to, you know, your traditional consumer who, you know, might be, you know, more on the mobile, you know, slash music type of devices. So I think that's the logic, and they're probably trying to show the association for what's about to come.
Right.
That thought process.
Right, but imagine somebody... you know,
this is what we've got now for
right. You can
same target audience.
Yeah, you can put them next to each other and they match, but they yeah. won't. They can't connect to each other. That's funny. I'll have to email Apple about that.
But
Elaine, I do have a kind of a follow-up just question on pricing, if you don't mind. And I know we discussed a little bit earlier working with resellers that are available through the channel. Is there any way for that Promise provides any sort of general pricing for the products, or is it all just you talk with a local reseller or a reseller that you work with and can get details from there?
Yeah, it would be through the local reseller.
Okay.
Cool. Well, unless you guys have any other questions for Elaine, I think we'll wrap it up. And Elaine, this has been really, really informative, really helpful, and we really appreciate your taking the time to talk to us, especially just after your rush of trips there, and with all the exciting things coming right around the corner. I'm sure you're especially busy. So thanks again for doing this for us.
Yes, thank you, Elaine.
All right, well, we really appreciate the time, and you know, we're very excited and completely focused on the launch on this end. So you got us at a time when, you know, we're all in the middle of the action, but definitely looking forward to when the launch does become, you know, let's keep in touch.
Definitely.
That sounds great. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Great.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Elaine. So we'll be in touch and maybe look forward to talking again after the launch when we have some more details.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye.